tonight, I really want you guys to think about how you compare to the five character qualities that I'm going to be talking about of Jesus Christ. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And this is just kind of going to set the stage for the five characteristics that I chose to speak on. There's a lot more, but these are five that I found to be interesting and relatable to everybody. So if you have your Bibles, 1 John chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 5 and 6. I'm reading now the King James Version, but starting in verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abide in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us, Lord, the things that we overlook, the freedoms that you give us as American people, Lord. And I thank you thank you for nothing more than your word, God, and how you present it to us, God, and that you thought of us when you were going through these people, using your spirit to guide them to write this, Lord, and we thank you for that. The promises, all of the words that are in this book, Lord, front to back, we thank you for that. I pray tonight, Lord, that your spirit can be in this place, Lord, and really help us to examine ourselves tonight for these things, Lord, and to see how we are adding up, see how we match up to how you are, God. We love you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, verse 5 talks about, are we keeping God's word? Because if we want to be like Jesus, if we want to compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, we have to look at ourselves and are we keeping God's word? Now, keeping is not, I have a Bible at home. I have 16 of them on the shelf. I carry around a cross with me. I have a tattoo of a Bible verse that I look at from time to time, or I think that God's word is a great idea. That's not keeping God's word, guys. Keeping God's word according to the Bible is what James 1:22 says, by not just hearing it, but doing what God's word says. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, it's treasuring it in your heart. Whatever word you hear today, keep it in your heart. That is what this keeping of the word of God is talking about. And if we keep it, we grow closer to him. His love is matured in us so that we can be more like him, because that's the end goal, is to be more like Jesus Christ every single day. And being sensitive to God's voice is also a huge thing. And you say, well, I talk to God all the time. I was having a conversation when I was down in Missouri with Tyler, maybe you know him, and I said, man, you know, sometimes I feel like I got so much on my plate and God's telling me to do this and do that and do this. And he said, man, I've been asking. He said, I don't know what God wants for me. I don't know what he wants for me. I've been asking and asking and asking, but I haven't got a response. And I said, well, when you talk to somebody, do they talk back? Yeah. I said, well, how do they do that? So, well, with words. And he kind of had that aha moment. See, we talk to God all the time and we try and pray our way through things, but we don't keep his word by looking in his word and figuring out what he wants for us. We just want to ask, but we don't really want to see what he has for us. But if we want to be like Jesus Christ, we've got to keep his word. We've got to know what he wants for our life. We've got to seek and find so that we can be an effective tool for him. Easier said than done sometimes, but verse 6 says, if we say that we abide in him, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. So do we talk the talk or do we walk the walk? And that's kind of what I want to focus on tonight, is are we going to hit these as I go through five character qualities of Jesus Christ. I want you to really think, like I said, how am I adding up to this? How am I adding up to Jesus Christ? Am I following him, or am I trying to be the Jesus in my own life? So the first characteristic of Jesus is that he is holy. And the scripture with that is Acts chapter 4, verse 27, and that says, "For of a truth against thy holy child, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." See, Jesus is in fact holy, and we can see that through the scripture and throughout scriptures as a whole. But the word holy is, when it's referring to Jesus, is divine, is exalted, is worthy of complete devotion. Jesus Christ is all of those things. He is holy, but it also means to be set aside. When we look at the Christian context and we say we are holy as he is holy, we are not worthy of complete praise. We are not divine. We are not any of those things, but we are set aside. We are different from the world, and we ought to be. You know, Jesus was an outsider. He wasn't in with the crowds, rubbing elbows with the kings and queens. He wasn't saying, "Man, I know what my fate is. I know what my fate is, and I want what the king has, or I want what this prince has, or I want what whomever was the guy, the star in his time." He didn't look after them and think, "Man, he's got it great. I'm just the son of God." He never thought those things, right? But we look for those people to lead us. We look for the movie stars. We look for the big names, the athletes, all those people. We want to be like them. And we don't want to let go. Even as Christians, we don't want to let go of what God has called us out of. We want to hold on to it. We want to still fit in. We want to fit in. It's human nature. We want to fit a mold. The world, we can either fit the world or we can fit Jesus. It's kind of hard to do both. We try all the time to say, "Okay, well, yeah, God, I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm keeping your word. I'm doing these things. But I also want to dabble in this just a little bit." Well, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus is holy, and we ought to be ourselves holy, meaning set aside. We cannot look like the world and act like the world and expect to be blessed. We cannot continue in the life that Jesus Christ, God himself, has called us out of if we're believers. And unfortunately, that is how a lot of us live our lives, and I'm not going to sit up here and say, "Oh, I haven't done that from time to time," that I don't do that from time to time. But as I grow older and I mature in my walk, I understand the importance of, man, I really got to get it down. I really got to understand that I cannot act like the old Phil. I cannot act like the Phil that I was yesterday even. Because that's not getting closer to God. We got to understand that we are holy, and we should be holy because Jesus was holy. And that's the first character quality. So I'll ask you, are you holy as Jesus is holy? And think about that. We'll move on to the second one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and this is going to encompass both the characteristics, numbers 2 and 3. And that says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." So, 2 and 3 are humble and obedient. Jesus Christ is and was humble and obedient. He was not boastful in what he did. As a matter of fact, he rarely took anything on. He always gave glory back to God, didn't he? He said, "No, it ain't about me. It's about God." And He was not boastful, and Jesus didn't really quite consider himself to be important, but rather the purpose that God had put in his life is what he considered to be important. He didn't look at himself and say, "Hey, man, I'm the Son of God. I can do whatever I want." When Satan was tempting him in the wilderness and said, "Hey, do this, this, this," what did he say? "I'm not doing any of that. It ain't about, you know, you not live by bread alone. You shouldn't tempt the Lord your God." And a few other things. And all throughout Scripture, when people poke at him, he says, "Nah, I don't need to be any part of, I don't need to be put up on a pedestal. My Father needs to be put up on a pedestal." We think we're the bee's knees at everything we do. Every single thing we do. I remember when I got hired in at Fort Wayne Metals, I was, my first day, I asked my boss, I said, "Who is the best operator in this building?" And he said, "Oh, it's this guy over here." And I thought to myself, well, in 2 years, you're going to be wondering who that guy is. And that was my mindset. You know, as a competitor, you kind of have to have a mindset of you got to be the best. You got to be the best. But I'm not competing anymore. I wasn't competing then. But I still had that mindset of I'm going to be the best there is. And there ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And you work and you work and you work and you do these things and you get knocked down from time to time. And you're like, man, I'm not as good as I thought I was. I'm not as good as I think I am. And you grow and you progress in your walk and you say, okay, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy who looks like Jesus. I don't want to be Phil Fisher of the past. I don't want to be that. I want to be more like Christ every single day. But he humbled himself. And he humbles himself to come down for a purpose. And that purpose was to die on the cross. And like I said, you know, while we think everything we do is the end-all, be-all, and everything we say is so profound and so great, and man, if you just, did you hear that guy? You know, did you hear that gal? Man, where do they get that stuff from? I'll tell you, y'all, if it ain't from God, it ain't really worth saying. It ain't really worth listening to. Because in the long run, this is the model. You're going to hear that a lot tonight. Jesus Christ is the model, and he never once said, look how great I am. Look how great I am. And he humbled himself. It says, and being found in the fashion as a man, just for him to come down from heaven, to be formed in the fashion of a man, to die for everybody in this room and everybody outside those walls, that's humbling enough. We can't even admit when we're wrong. But he said, no, I'm God the Creator, and I'm going to give my only son for every one of us in this room, everybody outside these walls. But we still think we know better. We still think that we're better than Christ. We still think that that he doesn't know better than we know. And we get thumped upside the head every once in a while. And doesn't always feel good, but hopefully we learn from it. So two, Jesus was humble. And the third part, or the third character quality is that he's obedient. Obedient, verse 8 says, unto death, even the death of the cross, which at that time was about the most brutal way you could die. I've watched a few things on it, and it's like, man, those people endured quite a bit for a little bit of time, about 2 hours, 3 hours, and they were done. It's a brutal, brutal thing, and if you don't know what it is or you don't understand how it worked, I'd recommend looking up just to see how he did this for you, just to understand the science behind it and see how brutal of a death it actually was, because it wasn't like, you know, anyways, look it up. It's worth understanding how that death was, but he was obedient. God had a plan for Jesus, and his plan was to die that horrible death. And he said, okay, God, I'll do it. But even before that, he served, right? He was doing all these things, not because of who he was, but because God had a plan. He had a purpose for the life of Christ, and that purpose was to serve, to teach, and to ultimately die for all of us. When I think of obedience, I think a lot of times of, like, when my parents used to ask me to do something. I did it, but I did not like doing it. Hey, you need to clean your room. Fine, I'll do it, but I'm not going to like doing it. Hey, you need to do this for me. You need to do this for me. You need to do this. And, you know, you learn, okay, well, this is eventually making me the person that I need to be, kind of help you mold as you grow into a young man or woman who is, what did I say the other time, a functioning member in society. And they do those things, but you know, they leave God out of it a lot of the times if we're not growing up in a Christian household. But we do these things and we're so upset about it. Jesus Christ, when he came to this planet, when he came to earth, when God said, hey, it's time, he knew what his purpose was. He knew that when he was born, his purpose was to die for all of us. And he was so obedient that he did it. He followed through with it. He did what God asked, how God asked, why God asked, when God asked. Because he loved God, because he kept his word, because he knew who his role model was. And it wasn't himself, it was God the Father. And so I ask us today, you know, are we being obedient to what God's calling us to do? He's not calling us to die on a cross. He's calling us to sacrifice ourselves daily and make sacrifices and die to ourselves daily. But we're not literally giving up our lives. We're trading our sin when we become believers for a new life, for an actual life, for life that has a purpose, for life that has meaning. And if we do it the way God calls us to do it, it might not always be fun. Jesus knew that this was going to be his end game. I don't know what my end game is going to be. I know what's going to be when I die. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I plan on being obedient now more so than ever through this path of life that God has called me to do. Like I've told you guys millions of times, I don't necessarily like being up here. It's not my comfort zone. It's not fun to be up here, but there's a reason I do it, and it's not because, oh, I'm a great speaker or I enjoy making a fool of myself or whatever it may be. It's because God has asked me to do this. God's asked Ashley to sing, Jimmy to preach, Phil to preach. There's tons of people. He asked you to go to Mexico to serve. There's tons of people in here. You have a purpose, and you can choose to obey or not to obey. And thank God Jesus obeyed, because he could have been like, nope, I'm not doing that. God, why are you sending me to die for you, to die for you? They're nobody. But Jesus didn't like that. And so I'll ask you, and he's not like that because he loves us, and that's the next point. But before we move on, I'll ask you guys, have you humbled yourselves? And are you being obedient to what God has called you to do? Because he doesn't call you to do it, he doesn't give you busy work. He does it for a purpose. And if you're not doing what God's called you to do, you're missing the purpose for your life. But God did that. He died on the cross for us. He came, was fashioned in the image of a man, died on the cross, even because he loved us. And that's the next one. Jesus is loving. So if you turn with me to John chapter 15, we'll be reading verse 13. And this is the fourth character quality of Jesus Christ. And it says, greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. I don't really have to talk so much on this point because I think the love of Christ speaks for itself, especially if you know Jesus Christ personally and you have a relationship with him. He died for us. From the beginning of this book, there's prophecy saying, here's what's going to come. Here's what's going to come. Here's what's going to come in the New Testament. It comes, it happens. He dies for us. All we're waiting on is his resurrection, his return, not his resurrection. His return. But he died for us because he loves us. John 3:16, we all know that, right? But if we're following Christ and we say we want to be like Christ and we're keeping his word, jump down with me to verse 17 because this is part of his word. These things I command you, that you love one another. Don't like that one. We don't like loving all the time. We don't like doing things that make us feel uncomfortable. And one of these things is loving from time to time. We like holding on to things. We like letting situations and comparisons and all of these things dictate how we feel and dictate why we do things the way that we do. And Jesus is pretty cut and dry right here. And if you continue on reading, he's pretty cut and dry. And he tells you how the world's going to be, and the world's going to be ugly. And the world's going to hate us, potentially, but it's not because of who we are. It's because who Jesus is in us. Because if we continue back in our unholiness, the world will get along great with them. But do you want to get along great with the world? Have you not lived that life long enough to say, okay, there's something more than the glitz and glam of what the world has to offer. There's something more to be taken. That something more is the love of Christ. And I struggle with it sometimes of, man, why do I have to love this person? I can't stand this person. They don't like me. They hate me. And the whole time I'm thinking, well, because that's what God wants. He doesn't ask for a bunch of people in the world. He asks for people to follow him, to be different, so that other people might be different, so that they might get to share in the joy and the glory that we get to share in one day. It ain't something that is easily done on our own. We cannot love, true love, until we've experienced the love of Christ. we act like we can. We act like we know what love is. And at every wedding I've ever been to, whether it's been a Christian wedding or not, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is like, y'all don't even know what you're talking about. It ain't worldly love. It's not the love that a husband and wife share outside of what God has established. But that's what the world looks at, love. Oh, it's a nice saying. It sounds good. But actually doing it the way God wants it done is hard. Because the world is hard. And people in the world make it hard because of sin. And that's that. But we know that because Jesus was obedient and died for us, that we don't have to live in the world. We can be different, set aside, holy, and obedient and humbled before Him. And we can love just like Jesus loved. So I'm asking you guys tonight, are you loving as Jesus loved? Do you love as Jesus loved? So that's another great character quality of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, yeah, I'm not Jesus. Oh, no. You're not. I'm not either. We're not asked to be Jesus. We're asked to be like Him. And every single day we need to be going a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further in our walk. That perfecting, that maturing, that has got to happen every day. Otherwise we digress. And it's hard to get back up. It's hard to pick up where you left off. It's hard to say, okay, I need to put this down. I need to forget about knowing God's word and keeping God's word, and I need to do what I want to do, a vacation or a break. It's hard to pick it back up. But if we're keeping God's word, we ought to make it a point to keep it. Not just when we want it or when we need it, but all the time. So that's the fourth character quality of Jesus, and I'm asking you guys just to make you think a little bit more. And the last one, and perhaps the most important one, of these, and all these tie in. So first, Jesus had to be holy. He had to come down. And we know that God is a holy God. We know that Jesus is a holy Jesus. And He had to come down. Second, He had to humble Himself. So He was holy. He had to humble Himself to come down, to get on our level, perfectly on our level, to show us how to live. Then He had to be obedient in death. And why was He obedient in death? Because He loved us. And what was the point of all of this? What was the point of all of this? Well, it was for to forgive us of our sins. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23, and we'll read verse 34. And that says, actually, let's go 33. And when they were come to a place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. Jesus is forgiving. And thank God for that forgiveness. Verse 33, the Roman soldiers came. They crucified Jesus. They walked away. And what is Jesus' response as He is nailed to the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are you kidding me? They're hanging this man to die on a cross. And this is His response to those people. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me how that is His response. Because I know every one of us in this room would be begging for our lives. We'd be pleading with that man, please don't do this to me. Please don't do this to me. Or some of us might get fired up and shout obscenities at him. Because we know, hey, we're not getting off the hook. So we're going to act like the world. But this is Jesus' reply. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know, after the world mocked Jesus, after the world spit on Him, beat Him, ignored Him, like we do, this is His response. He loves us that much that if we were the ones hanging Him on the cross, This would have been his response to us too. And it doesn't make sense. Why? It does, because I know who my God is. But looking at it from the world, it doesn't make sense why anybody would do the things that Jesus Christ did. It's not popular. We can't even forget. We hold grudges. We hold grudges all the time. I mean, we hold on to them over something this big. Jesus is being put to death here. He says, no, Father, please forgive them. They don't know what they do. Now, if they accepted that forgiveness or not, I can't recall off the top of my head, but have you? And I'll tell you guys a quick story, and that's how I know that I was growing. There was a time in my life right before Ashley and I got married that I asked somebody who was very close to me if we could borrow a room. She just had her bridal shower. You just get married, get all these presents and stuff. We didn't have anywhere to store it. We weren't living together. We didn't have a house yet. And I asked this person, and they said no. And I thought to myself, I asked him, I said, well, what do you mean no? Why not? Well, he had been harboring this ill feeling towards me for quite some time. He just never said it until then. And he said these mean, nasty things that I thought at the time, and I still think, that somebody who says that they love you should not say. I mean, it was to me one of the hardest things that I've ever heard, coming from somebody that claimed to love me. And I held on to that for a year and a half. I mean, I held on to that. When I went over to their house, very short, brief stays, not much talking, didn't call them too often. And they never apologized for what they said. And I was holding on to that, and I was carrying that with me. And y'all, when I tell you that ran my life for a year and a half, didn't it? That ran my life for a year and a half. All I could think about was those words that came out of his mouth. And why would he say that to somebody? Why would you say something so hurtful, so mean to somebody? And then it was like a year and a half later, on a February, I was reading God's Word, and somewhere in Luke, and I can't remember quite the context, but it said something along the lines of forgiveness. And man, I broke down. And this was after I'd been a Christian. I broke down. I'm like, why did I let that? Why did I harbor that so long? Why did I hold on to that for so long? Why did I not just forgive them? I wasn't ready to forgive them. I wasn't ready to follow Christ. I wasn't keeping his word. I wasn't reading. I was hardly praying. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And then I read this tonight. And the first thing he says after he gets nailed to that cross, read it. First thing he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is the first thing he utters. Man, are we like that? And before I close, I want to ask, are we like that? Do we want to be like that? Do we care to be like Jesus Christ, or do we want to be the same person that we've always been? Do we want to grow in our walk? Do we want to live as Jesus lived? And like I said, these are just five characteristics. There's tons more. They're in here. Recommend reading it. It's a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff in there. But these are just five that I picked out. You could go on and on and on. But my question to you tonight is, and I've asked multiple times, are you holy as Jesus is holy? When the world looks at you, can they tell a difference? Are you humble as Jesus was humble? Are you obedient? Do you do what God wants you to do when he wants you to do it, on his time and not on yours? Are you loving like Jesus was loving? And then lastly, are you forgiving? We can never forgive somebody for their sins. We are not going to get people into heaven. But if we're living like Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel, and the good news with everybody and saying, hey, here's where I was. Look, I wasn't like this at one time. Or I'm growing. Or look at the difference between now and 6 years ago, 7 years ago, 8 years ago. What? September 9th? Tonight? Today? Is it the 9th? It's my spiritual birthday. I got saved September 9th, 2012, 8 years ago. That just came to me. And I, wow. And I wasn't this person. I wasn't anywhere close to this person 8 years ago. And so as we stand tonight, kind of abrupt closing, but as we stand, I want to ask you, or I want to tell you, I want to offer this invitation to you. Because y'all don't know who I was 8 years ago. You do. You do a little bit. But y'all don't know who I was 8 years ago. So I wasn't terrible. I wasn't the worst person around. But I wasn't going to heaven. Didn't matter how good of a person I thought I was, how great of a person I thought I was, I wasn't getting into heaven. And then on September 9th, 2012 in Bloomington, Indiana, on a Sunday, I heard a message. It said, hey, it's now or never. You might not get another chance.